Yesterday I was preparing my talk and I wanted to do something lighthearted and I failed miserably at that. I'm very sorry. Bringing Reuben to bed last night, and you know, as a father, you listen to what he says, and he was a bit down and a bit sad, and it's like, oh, that's not really good to see in your son. And you really feel, you know, that bond. So you want your son to be happy. You want your child to be happy. And I've named the talk "How Deep the Father's Love for Us," and it started off to be a bit more lighthearted, but I failed at that. I do apologise, but it's good to read scriptures to see how God loved Jesus and what God did for Jesus, and the most horrible part of all, how God left Jesus in his time of greatest need. And for us as well, just to know that this was done for you and I, that God left Jesus, his son, his precious, so that we might have life, life forevermore. And so that's what I want to talk about this evening. If you want to open the Bible in Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27. So how deep the Father's love for us. And we've all had those moments, of course, that we've felt all alone, as if no one is there to help us, as an outcast maybe, as if the whole world doesn't know, doesn't even care that you exist, that you're there, which is quite sad, of course. And we've all felt that, I would assume, at some point in our lives, and some more than others. But how would you feel if God had forsaken you, if God wasn't there to help us? It's a thought I think many of you wouldn't even like to ponder, if God had forsaken us, if he wasn't there for us when we needed him. And of course, that's why we're here. And Matthew chapter 27, it's a chapter where Jesus is crucified. And we'll just read a couple of verses here. Verse 45 in Matthew chapter 27. Verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And it was from noon until about 3 p.m. It was total darkness. And there was a lot of other strange things happening even after Jesus' death. People came out of the graves and the temple veil was ripped into two, even though it was really, really thick. And the verse 46, and about the ninth hour, just before 3 o'clock, it was still dark. Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And this is probably one of the most heartbreaking and ultimately emotionally challenging moments in the Bible, I think, that you see Jesus just asking, "Why have you forsaken me, God? Why have you left me?" Jesus is dying and God isn't there. And Jesus feels forsaken by his Father and God has forsaken his Son, his beloved. And although at that moment, this moment, both God and Jesus knew it was coming, Jesus had asked that this cup might be taken away, but it was not his will, but God's will that was to be done. It was promised in the Old Testament by the prophets saying, there will be this perfect offer to save mankind. And here it's happening. And Jesus, of course, at that moment is laden with sin, the sin of all the world, all our sins, all your sins, for everyone. Everyone at that moment has the sins from all the future, 2,000, 2,500 years, all those sins were upon Jesus at that time, and God could not look at him. And of course, so Jesus died, and we know he rose again. He spent 40 days with the disciples, and then of course went up to heaven, and was set on the right side of God. And 10 days later, the Holy Spirit was given, the promise, and the promise that was for the children, and for us so many years later as well. And of course, it wasn't always like that. Jesus was forsaken by God at that moment in time. And afterwards, of course, God took him up in his open arms and is sitting on the right side of God now. And we just turn to Matthew chapter 3. Of course, Jesus had a task, and he was Jesus was the ultimate testimony. He was a perfect lamb. And in chapter 3 of the book of Matthew, we just read in verse 13. So when Jesus' ministry starts and he's meeting John the Baptist, and verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. Jesus knew what was going to happen. John knew, okay, this is, I have to fulfill my task. My task is to baptize Jesus. And then Jesus, he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water. So not a cup of water over his head. He came out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened, and unto him he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, lighting upon him. Then it happens, verse 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God spoke, and people were hearing this. God was speaking, and people were hearing this. There's an amazing thing that happened at that time. And we'll just skip a couple of chapters, to Matthew chapter 17. And this is the transfiguration on the mountain where Peter and James and John, the disciples, so go with Jesus up into the mountain. And we just read from verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. So they were separated from the others. And it was transfigured before them. It was changed. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Moses, of course, the one that brought the Old Testament, the law, and Elias as one of the prophets who did many, many wonders, and two great examples of the Old Testament time period. And verse 4, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So again, God speaking. And Peter and James and John heard God speak through the clouds. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. I'd be terrified as well if I just hear God speaking through the clouds. But again, God saying, this is my beloved Son, just telling the people, telling Peter, James, and John, I love my Son. I love Jesus. Hear ye him. He's that perfect example. And also at this point, he's saying, hear ye Jesus, hear ye him. The law of Moses and the prophets, they are to be confirmed. They are, Jesus has come to fulfill the Old Testament and bring in the New Testament, the new era of the Holy Spirit, which would, of course, happen after Jesus rose and had the Holy Spirit poured out. So there is a change here where Moses and Elias, okay, they fulfilled their part. Now Jesus is going to take the preeminence above these two. So, what we see in those last two scriptures, God just making sure everyone knows, I love my Son. This is my beloved. And as a father, myself, and a mother with a child as well, you would do anything you can to assist your child. You do everything you can to assist them or help them, protect them, safeguard them. And that's a natural thing, of course. You want what's best for them, go to the good schools and not be bullied at school, that they're happy and all these other things. And when they have pain or when they're sad, it breaks your heart. Of course. And, God loved Jesus. And we know that, he left Jesus at his darkest hour. And why? For us. For you and me. So that we could have no life. So that we can be reconciled to God. And that's an amazing gift that God gave his most beloved, that we might be reconciled to him. Because, as you read in the Old Testament, Israel just made a total mockery of it. And some people were there who wanted to do the right thing, but even though God did miracles and led them through the Red Sea and through the desert for 40 years and had them take over the promised land and everything was given to them, yet they just put it aside. And now this opportunity came that Jesus will be that perfect sacrifice that we could have life. And we just go to Hebrews chapter 9. And Hebrews is it's a great book to read through, just reading through what was promised in the Old Testament, what Jesus came to do, that Jesus has the preeminence above the Old Testament, that he's bringing something new. The Old Testament is done away or fulfilled, and a new era has come. And goats and calves, you know, don't reconcile you to God anymore. It's, you know, being baptized, receiving the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues as confirmation that you've received the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? We don't change the gospel, nor the people said. I mean, that's what's written here. And who are we, you know, to change it? Now, even Paul said, if I or an angel come to you and say something different, you let him be accursed. It's written. The word is given and God has confirmed it by, you know, infilling of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and the whole Bible just confirms what we've received. And we just read in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, goats and calves don't reconcile you with God. We just read in verse 14 about Jesus Christ. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spots, as that perfect sacrifice, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause he is that mediator, this is Jesus, of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now that's for us, that promise, that redemption of the transgressions. No one was perfect. All were with sin, and now we've got this eternal inheritance, the promise of eternal life. And Jesus is with God now. When we pray, we pray to Jesus, and he's become our mediator to God. And the promises are given to us, and many, many things, including the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, was promised to us, and we received it. And this promise is still for many others. And verse 16, for where there is a testament, there must also necessity be the death of the tester. And Jesus, with Jesus' death, the New Testament came into being. And God gave up his greatest beloved son. We'll read that in the Old Testament as well, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. There's a great part there about Jesus being there at the start with God, and he gave him up, forsaken him in his darkest hour, so that we might have that life and that life forevermore. And that's mercy to us. That's grace, because we didn't deserve it. It was given to us, and it's fantastic that we have this very special gift that we can also tell other people that they can have life. We'll just go to Romans chapter 8 just to finish up on, because Romans 8 has so many what we call golden nuggets of scriptures in there. We'll just read a couple of verses, and we'll start in verse 14, the promises to us. Romans chapter 8 verse 14, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God and daughters of God. And now Jesus is with God and has become our mediator, as I said before, and we know that God raised Jesus from the dead and allowed him to complete the promises. Without him being, put to death on the cross, he wasn't able to rise again. And so many prophecies leading up to that were then fulfilled. And then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, again, so many prophecies at that time were confirmed. We'll just read in verses 15 and 16, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. God is our Father, and he will not forsake us. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And why do we pray in the Spirit? Why do we pray? So we have contact with God. And after a good prayer, you feel really, really good. And you just know that, you know, someone is listening. It's not going to the ceiling. And sometimes I did a prayer before in my previous life and I just thought, oh, well, just give it a go. But never had that satisfaction. And now when I pray and you earnestly seek God, you feel it within, like someone is listening. And you see the results thereof, because God, of course, fulfills his promises. And just to finish up on in verse 14, and if children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We don't have to suffer that we be put to death on the cross. Those times may come, we don't know. But we are joint heirs. We have that same promise that Jesus has. And that's of eternal life, to be with God forever and ever and ever. And whatever happens, and you know, we know how deep the Father's love for us is because he gave that perfect sacrifice for us. And let us just be there when Jesus returns, and all the people said.